This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
This is a very special edition.
Gang is all here.
Of the Tim McKernan Show podcast. Jackson joining us in studio today. Look over there. Do you see her?
I do.
Here I am. Beetlejuice. Yeah, it's me.
I mean, I walked into Jackson's little, so you see Jackson's little cubby hole over there.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, good to do QFTA, questions from the audience, which is what I do with the podcast now.
A little abbreviation.
A little abbreviation. And then you come walking past, ladies and gentlemen, the great Learn. And I said, oh. Why don't you come in and do it? And then you called me a scavenger.
I go, you are a scavenger, a vulture. Hey,
yeah, what do
I'm
we got?
Glad
What's
I'm here.
Going on?
Because,
you,
and
you
I'm glad we're doing
today.
Questions from the audience. Yeah. Because I, you know, your audience...
loves you.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, I would.
There's been a lot of online commenting that I've seen, unfortunately.
Oh, well, it's from... you're sitting in his chair. No. Ken, you're in Ken's chair.
No, it's not from Ken Strode. It's from some randos being like... I don't really get it. I don't really get why this show is so fucking obsessed with Learn.
What, am I taking a shot at you? Is that what
they're
doing?
Yeah. And I thought, okay, like, I'm being very self-aware because now going on to the Riz show, I have a camera in my face 24 hours a day now. It's an entirely different sample of St. Louis that is not used to me, some of them. And so it's been really interesting because, you know, I'm not for everyone, as is everybody, you know.
I don't really know about that. I think you probably have like a Doug Vaughn approval rating.
I would love to put out like a poll. Like a kind of a, it seems a bit egotistical, but like a real poll.
Oh, it's approval rating.
Yeah, like an approval rating.
I bet you're
rating.
Operating, you got to be like at 90%+.
I don't think so. And I think that this audience of yours, they like parts of me, but they are annoyed by other parts. And that's what the realism is.
I am 100% completely unaware of what you're talking about, and I would swear a blood oath. Jackson, are you aware of any of this?
No.
If anything, I feel like our audience absolutely loves you, and I would also assume the Riz Show audience loves you as well.
Well, there's love and like, oh my God, you've added so much. It's amazing to have a female in the room.
Right.
To... you are ruining this. Like, it's a great spectrum. And it's
how long have you been doing that show now?
6 months.
6 months. Probably there was some pushback at first just because that's the nature of the beast in our industry. Mm-hmm. And St. Louis being a little slower.
Yeah.
And female, that element,
right.
Which I can't relate to. But now, are people still saying that? There's no way people
should.
Yeah,
I mean, once
maybe
a week.
Some.
Yeah, some. It's not like majority.
Right. That's such a great lineup. It really is.
It's so much
I told
fun.
You this. I said this to you privately. And I also said this to you, and I think I said it to Tom. Oh, it was the three of us. I said, something's wrong with me because I'm really just happy for everybody. And there's like no hating going on. I'm just happy for you. I'm happy for Riz.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten to know Rafe. He was friends with my
He's
brother
the
from the improv shop. Gotten to know him. Great guy.
Super fun.
And everything with, you know, what the show has experienced over the last couple of years to have
right.
like this incredible lineup and Riz works his ass off on that show. I'm just so I really am. I'm happy.
It's interesting to get to know Scott Rizzuto in a new way.
How have you gotten to know him? Tell me about Scott Rizzuto.
I deeply know him now. You know, you're 6 months in, there's with any sort of change of personality dynamics and things, you're going to, you know, we knew each other, but we didn't know each other in the daily sense
yeah.
where it's like, oh, hey, you know, like.
Because you're coming in the afternoons doing Casey and he's here
right.
at 3 a.m.
Yeah. And so we just never had, and, you know, we never hung out or had like spouses hang out and stuff. And it's like getting to get to know him and become friends with him is really cool. And he is maybe one of the smartest people I've ever met. Literally.
Is that right? Really?
Just his intelligence and the retention he has for historical points, cultural points of reference. Like, it's very impressive because I'm not one of those people that can retain a lot in their brain. Like, I just, I live in the moment and I feel a lot, right? That's my gift. His gift is he remembers things, like little stupid details that, like, he'll just pull out of his face. And so that's been really impressive to sit and watch. Because I always feel like I have a front row seat for, like, I had that with John for 8 years. I had a front row seat with him. And now I have this kind of front row seat with Rizzuto and all those guys. And, I mean, each one of them has different gifts. It's really cool.
I think the world of him. And here's the thing that I talk about with our audience every once in a while. And I said this even when we weren't here. Said he sets a tone, even though he's probably not even thinking about it, because that show is so successful. Like the numbers that the show, the show that you are now, you know, a big part of here. And if he were, however you'd want to call it, problematic. It's a nice vague word with plenty of negative connotation. Then it sets a tone. It can cause a problem in the building.
Yeah.
It can cause a problem in the market because then he might be like causing shit with other radios, shows and stations. But because he's just like this down-to-earth, really good guy, it sets a tone. It's kind of like when I would be in the Cardinal clubhouse, and if the best player was cool, then the rest of the guys would then follow suit. And here is the quote-unquote best player at our place, you know, with that show and the success that it has, and it sets a tone. And there's, and you and I know this, I suppose people could say, oh, they're just saying it because we work here, but there, as far as I know anyway, there's no bullshit in this building, you know? And that's something when you consider how many shows and
personalities
are in here. Yeah. So that's what I admire. I've been on the show a few times, but that's what I actually admire and respect, and plus the fact that he gets here at 3 a.m.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, he's kind of neurotic that way.
Yeah.
And that's something, too. So he does set like a, he has an, you know, he plans the show. So he, the reason he gets here so early is because he is figuring out how he wants it to flow. Every day it's different. And that's been interesting to kind of try and follow. And then the other part to it is like, I'm a very warm person. And even though Riz is really great, he's not, you know, he doesn't have a lot, he won't sit here and BS with you for hours on end. I will. He is more of, he's got that kind of New Yorker mentality still where he's like, no emotion, just give it to me straight and get the hell out of here type of thing. And so to have his personality like that, and I'm just going to call it colder just to kind of make sense of it, with me being such a fuzzy, warm person and like him being kind of this like no BS, like just let's do a good job and get in, you know, and just do what we need to do. We have to weld the two. And so I have kind of picked up on some things where, you know, you start to kind of adopt the ways of your show dynamics, right? Like you guys all have it on this show where you understand the temper of everyone or temperament and ego and like how you, the dynamics of personality and ego on a radio show and any type of show is so interesting because it's personalities colliding and some days are going to be easier and some days are going to be not as easy, right? And so we've already in 6 months had some days where, you know, there's awkwardness or there's tension or there's like tears of laughter, you know what I'm saying? Like, so we've really had a great perusal of every type of dynamic that the show can be. Like today, you know, today is Wednesday, and our show today was like maybe one of my favorite shows we've had.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it was.
Why is that?
Because of the flow. Everybody was there. We were laughing. We were giving each other crap. Like, it was a perfect amount of, I felt like we really connected today. And that, and I even told Riz after the show, I'm like, I feel like today was one of those days where this is the show.
Yeah.
Because we're still getting there.
Yeah.
It's still old ideas, figuring out what we want to continue, new things that are coming on the show. And I don't know, it's really, it's in a weird, fun beginning stage of, you don't really know how it's going to go still. You know, we don't know what our strengths are for this version of the show, you know, because it's just so different.
How are you adapting to the schedule change?
I'm okay. I mean, I'm tired all the time.
Are
I got
really?
3 hours of sleep last night. I didn't do very well.
Fuck.
I know.
What's the deal? What time are you going to bed?
I'm going to bed at 8:30. Last night I had
Are you
an
falling
event.
Asleep at 8:30?
No, I'm physically in bed at 8:30. Okay. I take a melatonin gummy, CBD, at like 7.
Okay.
Okay.
Start to wind down.
I start to wind down. I do melatonin CBD gummy and then I do magnesium and I get physically in bed at 8:30 and then phone. I stop looking at my phone at 8.
Okay.
And then I get up at 3:30 and that is roughly 6 hours. I'll get six and a half hours a night. And so I'm used to that, but last night I had an event, and so I didn't get to bed until like 11:30, like midnight, essentially.
You like had to go appear at something?
Yeah, I had a networking event. And so I went to that.
Is this a radio thing, or is this
No,
just,
it's like a side thing. Babes in Business.
Babes in Business, is that right? Yeah. Jackson, are you familiar? You know, Jackson's the most eligible bachelor in St. Louis, so he might be familiar with this.
I'm not.
Babes in Business.
It should be familiar, though.
A female business networking event that happens at Olive and Oak in Webster Groves.
Oh, sure. Just dined there on Saturday.
From, like, every couple months they do these events, and it's really well done. And all of these women are either business owners, vendors. They, like, I was part of a speaking panel with a woman from KSDK and a woman who founded the Frizz Fest festival, which I was unaware of. I hadn't heard of it. She was really interesting. And so the three of us had like a Q&A, and then we networked with a bunch of ladies to, you know, essentially like women want to know, like, how can they get their businesses on the radio and like that sort of thing. So it was really cool. But yeah, I did not sleep well last night.
How are you enjoying that wake up call at 3:30? Is it brutal or...
The first 4 months were brutal.
And now you've got a little system
now
going?
Now I got a system going. I'm not as, I really was like afraid for my health and afraid for everyone around me because I was like, I'm just, you know, afternoons was the best. Your body just woke up and, oh, let me just go do this thing for 5 hours. Yeah. And then, oh, it's 6 o'clock. I'm off work. Oh, I can stay out as late as I want.
Know.
It's afternoon drive is, I'm sorry, is the best. That should be the most lucrative day part of radio. It's always mornings. Should be afternoon drive because the DJs are happier. They're well rested. They're attending cool ass events.
Yeah, you can go out after.
You can go out. Right. Bands want to come in. People want. People don't care. 2:30 interview. Okay.
Yeah. No big deal.
No big deal.
Close to 6 a.m. Yeah.
So, but no, I have a good system, and you know, I don't. I had to change a lot. Like I was normally like a morning shower, and now I shower at night. So I have to like consider that for things.
How tough was it for you to make the move? I don't think we've talked
to
about
to go
this.
To the point?
Yeah.
It was extremely tough.
I bet it was.
I was not okay. And it's funny to me because I think everybody who, you know, like management and everyone involved that were coming to me and saying, hey, here's this opportunity, I think everybody had like the best intentions for me in mind. But I don't think that people really understood how deeply connected and in love with KSHE 95 I still am. And that's been really hard for my heart because it was like, and this is so stupid. I even said this last night at my panel that I spoke on because one of the questions was if you could tell your younger self anything, what would you say? And I would say I would loosen my grip a little bit because I think the key to my success on KSHE was how deeply invested I was in that station and brand and its history and like.
And that audience loves that.
Yes. And they knew that is authentic. This is somebody who deeply admires and respects the history yet wants to cultivate the future with it in mind. And like, you know, I did not take it lightly. And I think that, you know, at this point, I'm having a lot of fun on the Riz Show. Things are good. I don't have any regrets or anything. But I do fear that one day, many years from now, I'll look back and wish maybe I could have lasted longer. Like, I always wanted to beat you, man's, you know, his 48 years on KSHE. I always, like, had it in mind to, like, compete with him in that way. But the other part of it for me that wasn't about me was I really wanted the brand to, I really cared about that. I still care
you
about
do.
It.
I know you do.
I love KSHE 95. Yeah. And I don't want it to ever turn into something that it's not. And it's not that, I mean, that sounds like I don't trust people that are taking care of it now, but it's in a new phase of itself. And so what I had to kind of reconcile with and put to bed essentially was I am so lucky that I had 15 years on that station when I had it. And the experiences I had, and I had to look back with gratitude instead of like regret or fear. And that was really hard for me because I'm somebody who doesn't let go easily of the things I love. And, you know, I had to let go. And I don't know, just, yeah, it was bittersweet.
I bet. I wonder how people know how much you love that station. Like the casual observer, I'm sure the people who are members of that audience absolutely knew, which is why they loved you. But that's why when I knew that this was percolating and a decision you have to make, I was like, oh, man, this is putting learn to the test here.
It was. And it was time to grow. You have to do things that scare you. It scared me to leave.
What did Tim say?
I think Tommy Mattern called my husband.
Really?
No, this is my conspiracy theory. I think management, I think John Kiyoski, Marty Link, and Tommy Mattern all called him, you know, and nobody told me, and they were probably like, talk her into this, because she's, you know, Tim was like, hey, whatever you want to do. And
because it affects him with his wife going to bed.
I see him only for 2.5 hours a day now.
All right.
It's like, and honestly, that's been really hard. That's been the hardest part of all this, is like not having our togetherness as much as we normally got used to. Mm-hmm. And so even whenever I was doing mornings with you, man, Tim worked with us. So yeah. I saw him all day, and, you know, so now I don't see him at all. And we've had to, you know, it's just one of those things where you have to evolve your marriage and relationship and kind of ebb and flow with how that feels. And we're still trying to nail that down. I need to see my husband more. He knows that. And it's like, I can't stay up any later. And so we have to figure out something. So,
is he nervous with Iggy's presence?
Yes. He's nervous about everyone. He's nervous. I mean, oh my God. It is so funny. The rumors. So
what do we got? This is good. Jackson, do you know about any rumors?
No, but I'm settling in.
Please.
I can't wait to hear this.
Tell you
this
enough.
This is great. What do we got?
So aside from Iggy being in love with me, which is a rumor, no, you know, or maybe
know
it's
that.
Real.
I think we're past the rumor part.
So we have that. Then
you
it
don't
was...
notice this sticker to your right of you in our studio.
The one thing that's on the wall.
Right.
Then it's been interesting because as a female on this male show, I don't think, I see this at least.
Do they creep on you?
No.
Not the guys on the show. I know
no,
that.
No.
I'm talking
audience,
about the audience.
The audience has perception that they think that I'm like sleeping with everybody on the show.
No way.
Let me give
really?
You some examples. The
I
first
wasn't aware of this.
The first couple of weeks, Moon and I would take pictures with our guests and we would stand next to each other. People would be like, something's going on, getting scrutinized that way. Then most recently, I'm surprised nobody's ever said it about this show. I come on here, I give you guys shit.
You think I'm banging Doug?
That's what I was about to say.
No. I'm saying
Tim
like
and Doug went through the same thing.
We all have this weird. Flirtation is such a loaded word. It's playfulness. We all play with each other when we're on air together. We poke the bear. You know, like Iggy, I know he loves me. So when I come, I'm always sweeter to him, or I'll say, you know, or what I was telling Jackson, I'm like, oh my God, you look so good. Like, it's a friendship. It's a playfulness. And some people will hear that. And because I'm a woman and you're a man, they will assume that it's romantic based, because that's what the average person who maybe doesn't have this sort of interpersonal ego.
Oh, you're dealing with incels, it sounds like.
I think so. Yeah. And it's really bizarre.
So that's interesting. So they don't normally hear a lady interacting with guys
on the way that I do.
Right. And so then there's just the assumption that
I'm sleeping with everyone.
Wow.
Like,
how about this?
Rafe and I get it and he's from Southern Illinois. We've only known each other for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we have so much in common. He is one of my best friends right now. Like,
wow,
we just,
how about that?
It's
quick.
That's great. And I just love him, and he loves me. And it's just been the joy of my career to have somebody like him. He's just so thoughtful. He's a good person. I can't say enough great things about Rafe. And I had no idea who he was before I started on the show. I never saw his comedy or anything like that. We get along so fabulously, and we agree on the same things, and we have fun, and he gets it. And people will just, like, tear that to shreds. They can't get over the fact that a woman and a man can be friends. We can have things in common. We can love each other and be like, you look gorgeous today. And it's nothing more than just friendship and playfulness through a show. And it's just so interesting. And it's a double standard. I can have a man say anything disgusting to me, and he never gets called. I'm not talking about the guys on the show. Let's say a guest or anyone else.
Mm.
Say something disgusting to me, but then if I say, hey, McKernan, like, oh my God, your beard is like looking so good today.
Thank you. People would
say, this slut is banging Tim McKernan.
So where do they say these things?
Online.
Like in your YouTube, but you guys
emails.
Have YouTube chat off.
We have chat. No, we have chat on.
Oh, you got it back on?
We have it back on.
Wow.
Emails come in. The chat on posts. It's
really?
So awful.
I honestly wasn't aware of any of this.
And I feel terrible. Like, I go home. I go home at night and talk to Tim, and I'm like, hey, did you listen to the show today? Is everything okay? Like, I'm checking in to make sure that the person I care the most about and his heart the most And he's like, yeah, you're having a great fucking time. Yeah. Like, what? And I'm like, right. Okay. And that's, you know, I have this kind of self-consciousness to me now where sure. I'm going, well, I'm getting more and more scrutinized because of my personality dynamic with these people that I've known, aside sure. from Rafe, for many, like over a decade. And it's just been interesting in that light too, because when I was working with John, nobody would say that.
That's what I was about to ask. Did you get this before?
No.
No. That's interesting.
It's so interesting. And John and I are in love with each other.
Yeah, you
he
do.
He calls
you
me his third wife. Like, but nobody's worried about that.
Yeah, John's got to feel insulted. How come nobody's worried about him?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know
so
about
that. So that's been
that.
All, these are all the new things
yeah,
I'm getting used to.
Yeah, I didn't know that that was going on. It didn't even cross my mind.
Wow. Yeah. It's okay. You wouldn't. I mean, I'm glad you don't know.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like there's the word around the building. But I mean, I stay in this little closet in here, and I don't really see many people. You
know? I hate that you guys don't have a window in here.
You know, we're just happy
to
be here.
Well, yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever I came
in, you popped in. It was wonderful, and you wrote a great text.
Yeah, what was up with that,
Jackson? What do you recall what that text was about? I forgot. I think you sent it out on our Instagram.
Sure. It opened up with
Real Talk.
Real Talk, Tim. This is from the recovering alcoholic.
Oh, good.
Uh-huh. From Belleville, but he lives in Webster Groves, and he first said, "Have you ever snorted a fat line off someone's crank?"
What does that mean? Crack?
Cocaine.
Was a fat crank?
A male genitalia.
What? I've never heard.
Probably a girthier gentleman.
By a barmaid in Dupo.
Yeah, methed out barmaid in
Dupo. Methed out, right. That's key. Methed out barmaid in Dupo, Illinois. And then there was a milk explosion similar to the Indy 500.
The Indy 500, which I do understand that reference.
Oh, you caught that one. You caught that reference.
Yeah, they always have the milk and they pour it all over
nice.
Themselves.
Right.
I'm
right.
A sportsman
so that
now.
Was the that was the text you read.
Yeah.
That person is very proud of his work. I just want to say that.
Thank you.
Does great
well,
work, and he's
wonderful.
Probably honored that you read the text. Oh, he just dropped in. Why were you dropping by the way?
I was getting tea, and I was listening. I kind of, like, came over here to see what you guys were talking about, because I wanted to say hi. And normally I wave and I see, like, oh, come in. But here you have to just kind
of. Yeah, it's a closet.
You need, like,
you can see we can lock the door
like
now.
A peephole?
Oh, good.
Yeah.
You need a mob, like one of those window, like those little eye things where they get speakeasy, like, what's the password? You need one of those.
We need a ring camera.
You do. Yeah, it could be very high tech.
And see what's doing. Well, I've already kept you. I could go into more. I don't
me
want to
too.
Do that.
Okay. I mean, what else? I mean.
Oh, I got you more. I can.
You said till 2. Why not?
I gotta call it. Oh, good.
I don't care.
This is great.
I have nothing to do.
All right. Well, what were you asking me? You were asking if I keep talking when I get home.
You talk a lot. And
Jackson's on with me the whole damn time.
Mm-hmm. You both
I guess
do.
Jackson's in the other room, though, most of the time.
Yeah, for TMA, for sure.
But he's on Balloon Party, uh-huh. and then we do the podcast together. Let's talk about Jackson. Jackson's stock skyrocketing.
You look great, and it needs to be said.
It does need to be said. I didn't realize this. He felt like he was a little heavy mm-hmm. when we went to Jamaica, and he saw a picture of him with Lisa Ann.
Yeah.
And then his hair, he was conscious of his hair thinning. And so he has tended to both of those things, and now learn he's the most eligible bachelor in St. Louis.
Are you dating anyone?
No, I was involved with somebody for a few months, but now I'm not.
See how he looked at me when he answered?
What happened?
Did
Tim steal your girlfriend or what?
I was involved with Tim, yeah.
I'm banging Doug,
hey,
and I'm banging Jackson.
Welcome to my world.
No,
banging them all.
So I was involved, I wouldn't say dating, but I was involved with someone for a little bit.
And Jackson strategically, which was smart, by the way, kept all of this off the air, no matter how many times I would attempt to bring it up.
Right. That's the right
so
way.
So smart. Like Riz. So I don't know if you've noticed this. You'd have to be really paying attention. I don't say my kids' names on the show. You noticed that.
I was going to ask.
Whenever I talk about them, I try not to as well, just because I don't want to mess
so
with
So when we did the thing for Jeff Burton at the pageant, I don't even know why, but I guess Riz's children were there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know why. I said, "Oh, I don't know your names." And he goes, "Well, that's intentional. I've gone out of my way since they were born to not say their names."
Yeah, he never says their names.
Yeah, I guess you always say my 6-year-old and my 1-year-old.
That's what I say now.
Yeah.
And that was ever since Scott and I were just bullshitting backstage with the pageant about that. And I go, "God, that's so great." Because as you know, I bet you know it 500 million times more than me, there is a sliver of the audience, and it's got to be so intense for you, that is, you know, can be problematic is our word of the day. And, you know, it's one thing if you want to fuck with me, you want to fuck, I mean, you know, it sucks, come after my wife, whatever. You bring the children into it,
Yeah.
We're out of line. So I'm like, I'm not going to say their name. Now, Iggy just asked a question the other day. He's doing it completely innocent.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know. But yeah. So I just don't do that just because of the insanity. And it was interesting to me that Riz consciously thought that way.
Yeah. The boy and the girl.
That's what he calls. Mm-hmm. Is that what he calls them? The boy and the girl. And they're older, right?
They're older. But he also doesn't really say his wife's name too much on air.
I don't do that much either anymore.
He's dropped it a couple times, but I'm always very conscious.
You have Tim Crush
Tuesdays. Yes.
And is that a message to Iggy?
It is. Nothing rhymes with Iggy. Iggy Crush Saturday doesn't make any sense. So Ken Crush Monday. Oh, I don't know.
What a hot day it would be for Iggy.
Well, could you imagine his life? I just want someone to love him. I do.
I don't know if he wants to be loved.
He doesn't. I've had this discussion, and he doesn't want a serious relationship. And I said, well, I'm a monogamist, and when I get in a relationship, I'm stuck. I'm not moving, okay? I'm not sleeping around. I'm not getting crazy.
Despite the accusations that are coming
away. Despite the accusations, serial monogamist.
I thought you were talking recently. We get texts about what you talk about on the Riz Show because you guys are on. And so whatever, we actually had audio of, what was the thing? Oh, about you talking about caddying for Iggy.
Yes.
We had that. We played that. I think that broke Iggy's heart right there live on the air.
That's showbiz, baby. gotta stir the pot.
And the picnic attendance,
I heard that. But there was something about, oh, you guys got to get the clip. Learn's talking about threesomes or something on the Riz Show.
Oh, probably.
Oh, okay. You don't recall this?
I don't recall. Oh, yeah. We were talking about, was it this week?
I don't know. I mean, you're monitored by our audience.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let me get your takes on this. So AI, humanoid robots are coming. Mm-hmm. Tesla's already advancing theirs. There's going to be, you know, in my opinion, the pornography industry is going to skyrocket with humanoid robots because...
Wow, what a take.
We already have, like, virtual reality porn with the VR headsets, and that's pretty crazy. And then the humanoid... And you have, like, real dolls, which are, like, life-size, like... dolls that you fuck. And so, sorry, there's no better way to put it.
Yeah.
And so I asked the question.
Is this
to the guys,
just for the gentleman to bang?
No, this is both. This is all sex.
So really?
Anybody you want.
That's great to hear.
And so.
So we've come so far.
I feel like here soon, we're going to be able to buy humanoid robots that aside from just being able to penetrate or ride or whatever you want to do to them, you will then be able to have like essentially a relationship. How you have with like the Tamagotchi things from the 90s, like you take care of the humanoid and maybe it does a chore for you. And like, you're going to start seeing people that are like incels who maybe don't want to have a human.
Or might not have the option.
Yeah. Or not have the option. And they, now they can have relationships with a robot. And I just wonder, is that cheating? Like if I found out Tim had gone to a robot brothel and screwed a humanoid robot.
Wow, what a question.
Am I upset?
Have you guys discussed this yet? Have you gotten to this point?
I had a dream earlier this week. This is how it all came up. I had a dream that he did screw a robot.
And how'd you feel about it?
And I was pissed.
You were pissed about it?
Yes.
At him?
At him. Because he wouldn't tell.
You
wouldn't
fess up. You were fine with the robot, though. You didn't fault the robot.
No, I mean, it's a robot, but I was. But it's the same. Like, is that cheating? And it would be like, it's not like robot. It is real. It's as real as it can be. It's having a personality. It's talking to you. It's flirting.
So it doesn't just look like a droid.
No,
it looks like a lovely lass.
Yes. It looks like Margot Robbie.
Oh, wow.
But it still feels to me kind of like a vibrator, you know, where it's like.
So you have banged a robot?
No, I personally haven't, but I would be.
You've ridden a robot.
I wouldn't necessarily be opposed.
Right.
Wow. Put that off.
But, like, it feels like it would be more of a vibrator, and I would never get mad at a significant other.
No, I encourage it, actually.
Right, so it makes everyone's life easier. And so,
it does.
So I feel like it's closer to that, but I guess you really wouldn't know how you feel until the situation presents itself, because you could say, oh, I'm fine with it, or I'm fine with, you know, polyamory, but...
See, you want me to tell you something, Jackson?
I would like to.
I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah, please.
learn here is a great human being.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you see is a great human being. You wouldn't know you're a great human being because then that would kind of have a trait of being arrogant in some capacity. But you're a great human being. I'm a bad person. I'm a real bad cat is what I am. I'm the bad cat.
Why are you bad? What?
Well, what I'm saying is I can have sex with somebody with absolutely no emotion. So I'm pro. I am the anti whatever you are.
You yourself can be like that?
Yes. I could be like that with my wife, 100%. I could, because I don't attach emotion to sex.
What?
Oh,
this is how you've always been?
Last 20 or so years, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I don't. But you're one of the goods. I'm one of the bads. And so that's the thing. Like, so
right.
If my wife's like, yeah, I banged the bot.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, oh yeah, how was it? That's what I would say. But again, I'm soulless. You, as a good person, you value this in your relationship with him. And so it's a different thing. Learn one of the goods.
Oh, yeah.
Me one of the bad. You know what? Jackson's one of the goods too.
He's
one of the goods.
Yeah, I can't separate the two.
Right.
I can't.
I mean, then it's like one of the pros of having a humanoid sex robot of the future that's probably gonna happen. Is like maybe you're somebody who's never had a three-way and you're like, I want to play with that idea. And then, but you don't want to have it be somebody you know or attach in any way. The robot would be an option where you could experiment sexually without having the attachment.
So you would experiment with a threesome with a robot.
I mean, maybe.
Would it be a male robot?
It's a great
question.
Hear.
It's a great question.
What?
Would it be a male robot?
Like the more popular MMF, or would it be the less popular MFF?
I don't know. I mean,
this is such an important question.
It is such an important, it's a huge question. It's maybe the most important question I've ever been asked.
In a closet.
I don't think Tim would be comfortable with a man with me. And him.
Even if it's a droid.
Even if it's a droid. I'm going to ask him this tonight over dinner.
See if he wants to drop by this closet tomorrow and then do a follow-up.
Give
a full report. And like, I don't know. Like, am I bi-curious? I don't know. I think all women are.
Because I'm going to answer you are just because that's how I'm programmed.
I think all women are bi-curious.
Do you really? I love hearing that.
I do.
I can't tell you how happy that makes me. I've been operating on that premise for ever since I hit puberty.
But the reason I think that is because, like, it's weird because, like, I can't divide, like, I bring up Margot Robbie again. I think she's one of the most beautiful women to ever walk the earth. I love her and all of her movies. I just think there's a part of me that wants to look like her and I want to, God, I wish I could be Margot Robbie. But then it's like, okay, well, could I have sex with Margot Robbie? I don't know. Like, no, like I'm not, like I'm very hetero, but I'm attracted to her. So it's like this weird middle ground. You know what I'm saying?
Jackson always says this, and I agree with him. Her skin is soft like yours. Is that appealing as opposed to like the hair and the grotesque things that men? It's just awful. We're awful.
I love men.
I've been boy crazy, gross, and we got body fat, and it's a mess. It's an absolute disaster.
When it's well done and it's taken care of, it's beautiful. And men, you guys, I was telling the guys this the other day on the show. They all want a dog on themselves. I'm like, no, like men are sexy. Men are hair, like body hair is hot.
Really?
Like,
Jackson, body hair is hot. That's bad news.
Yeah. Boy.
There's all sorts of stuff. like
under the chin.
You know, chest, men's clavicles are hot. Like there's.
Is that right?
Men's calves. Like I.
Do you believe every man is bicurious? If every woman is bicurious?
No, I think every man.
I love your double standard.
It's a double standard.
Welcome to the show. It is. This is great to hear.
It's
welcome to being part of the
bads. At least that's how it's projected, right? So the only reason I'm saying that is like the men in my life have projected this ultra hetero cisgender male experience to me. However, I do have some really cool guy friends who will be honest and be like, "Hell yeah, I would fuck LeBron James." Like,
is that right, Jackson? Is that you?
I love LeBron with all my heart, but I don't think I could ever do it.
I love him too.
You let him top you.
Like, that's a man.
I don't know. Take work off for a week.
See, or like maybe not LeBron, because he's an intimidating person. Maybe.
What if that cute little Timothy Chalamet showed up?
What about Timothy Chalamet?
King.
Sounds like we got a match.
We have a winner.
Jawline King.
I love that you're in the bi-curious cloud with me right now.
I'm just aware.
Anyway, no, I. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, the dynamic of gender and sexuality. Really,
every
is.
Woman is bi-curious. A special podcast with Learn. That's our title today.
That is 100%.
God. I mean, that is...
People will be like, great. She's coming for the women, too.
Oh, my
God.
Great. That's so great to hear.
Thank you.
Because I've been operating on that premise. I've been trying to sell it for a long time.
And I'm not trying
to... I got no buyers.
I'm not being a pervert. I'm just being honest to God. Like, I'm just... You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to get the line. I'm not trying to get the perv card. Because I know you're giving those out. I'm... trying to keep it real right now.
So Margot Robbie would be the one.
The one? God, I could go for I could go for like another 3 hours.
God, she's gorgeous.
That would be the one. So if you're at a cocktail lounge and she rolls up to you and says, can I buy you a...
Espresso martini.
Espresso martini. You would say, absolutely.
Absolutely, Margot Robbie.
Jackson, what's going on?
That little Australian accent.
Right.
Oh, my God.
It's all happening. It's finally happening in here.
I need to go to a new therapist. You know,
is that the deal? Every woman is bi-curious. That's a special podcast.
Thank you.
With Learn. Wow. What a treat. See, I'm glad. This is great. This is how I'm going to do my podcast going forward. I'm just going to hang out in the hallway.
Yeah. Scavenger hunt.
And then scavenger hunt.
And Learn walks by like, Jackson, let's do the podcast.
I know.
And then,
I would love to have a regular appointment with you to talk about anything.
Well, I mean, I'm in.
Yeah. Okay.
You know that.
All right, cool.
I've been trying to make this happen for a long time, sister.
I know. You know, and one day we'll work together.
You think so? Do you think so?
Yeah.
I feel like it might
Riz
not
says
happen.
He's got 10 more years.
Oh, is that right?
That's what he said this
week. Riz and I are the same age.
Well,
so he's shutting it down in 10 years.
Yeah, 55, he's out.
He's out. He's done.
At least that's how he said it to... I made the guys fill out this questionnaire, and I was like, where do you see yourself in 10 years? He's like, on a beach, doing nothing.
Good for him. That's the thing with him. He just is... He's
you both want to move to Florida, which is
I didn't know he wanted to move to Florida.
Obscene to me. I want none of you to move to Florida. I'm still against it.
Yeah, I think we might be here now for the long haul.
Oh, good.
Because we like where my son's going to school and developing friendships with people. And,
good. You know, see that? You don't need Florida. It's going to be underwater in a couple more years.
Actually, that's that and the insurance premiums.
Yeah.
That's causing. This has been wonderful. I hate that I have to cut it off because I got a call for the golf tournament for which you are caddying for Iggy, which I can tell you're so excited.
I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. I know
but
there's
a golf,
bib.
But it's golf and you feel so close to the earth when you're out there carrying a golf bag.
I think I'm going to take up smoking so I can just bond with him more.
It'd be a good way to do it.
Right?
Learn.
Thank you.
God, I mean, what a treat. I mean, I'm walking past the hallway.
I had no idea that this is where it would go, but here it is.
There she is, the great Learn, making an appearance here on the Tim McKernan Show. Thank you to the James Carlton State Farm Insurance Agency, Mark Hanna of Evergreen Wealth Strategies, Seth Goldkamp of Design Air Heating and Cooling, and Jamie Burkhardt, Clayton Patterson, and Peter Munganast of Munganast St. Louis Acura and Alton Toyota for Action Jackson and Learn. I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Tim McKernan Show.